Boker Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are nearing the end of Masechet Moed Katan, and as promised, these two podcasts, which will be published before midday of Yudal Benisan, will take us to the end of Masechet Moed Katan. On Chol HaMoed, we will begin podcasting Masechet Chagiga. We are near the end of Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, a list of those tears, those garments rent that we do not ever mend. And among the list was Are Yehuda, the cities of Judea that are destroyed, Yerushalayim, and the Mikdash. So Are Yehuda Menalan, the Gemara asks, how do we know that you have to tear your garments for when you see the cities of Judea? Dichtiv, and we see the first pasuk on the page, Vayavohu Anashim, Mishchem, Mishilom, Mishomron, Shmonim, Ish, Migochei Zakan, Mikorev Gadim, Mitkodedim, These are a group of people who came from the north who had come to bring korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash, and now they were returning, having seen the Mikdash was destroyed and their clothes were torn. Amar Bichelbo, Amar Ula Bira, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Haroeh Arei Yehudam b'Chorbanan. So now we're going to see it formulated with sequentially. One sees the cities of Judea which are destroyed. Omer Arei Kodshecha Yumidbar. The second pasuk on the page. Two psukim in a row from Sefer Yeshayahu, which will form the liturgical response here, that your holy cities have become desolate. V'korea, and then you tear kriya. Yerushalayim b'chorbana. Then when you get to Yerushalayim, Omer Tzion midbar hayta. Yerushalayim shemama hayata. Yerushalayim Tzion has become a midbar. Yerushalayim a desolation. V'korea, you tear again. Beit Hamikdash b'chorbana. And then when you come to the place of the Mikdash, Omer. That our temple, our holy temple, our holy sanctuary, and our glory, that where our ancestors praised you, has become destroyed by fire, and all of our precious things have become destroyed. The Korea. All right. So now the Mishnah said Korea Mikdash Masif Al Yerushalayim. The order presented in the Mishnah was Mikdash and then Yerushalayim. Whether you hear about the destruction or you see the destroyed place, once you get to Mount Scopus, which is a place where you can see the city Korea, then you have a separate kriya for Yerushalayim and for the Mikdash, which sounds like you tear for Yerushalayim first, and the Mishnah was Mikdash first. So Lokasha, Hadapag Mikdash Beresha, Hadapag Yerushalayim Beresha. It really depends what you saw first. If you first encountered the city, then you would tear that. If, on the other hand, somehow you would encounter the Mikdash first, I'm not exactly sure how that could happen, then you would tear for the Mikdash first. So the sequence does not indicate anything about importance, but rather just about experience. You first experience this catastrophe, you tear kriya for it, and then another kriya for the other catastrophe. The discussion about Arei Yehuda b'Chorbanan is one that of late, in the last 60 years or so, has become reinvigorated with the fact that now many of Arei Yehuda are flourishing under Jewish sovereignty and with Jewish population, and the question of whether or not one should tear kriya for them has been raised, and there are many poskim who believe that that it should not, for at least for those cities. Tanu Rabbanan, v'chulan v'sha'in l'shalan u'molulan u'loktan v'lasotan k'min sulamot. All of these tears that you're not allowed to mend, for parents, for the Nasif, for the Abbeitin, for Shalim, for Rei, etc., for a Sefer Torah that you see burned, you are allowed to mend them in some sort of rudimentary fashion, sulamot, to sort of make ties between the two parts, so they're sort of loose and connected, of Alola Achotan, but not to fully mend them. Amar Rav Chisda, Uvichui Alexandri, says that the mending that we're referring to is professional mending as it was done in Alexandria. Tanu Rabbanan, Korea mitoch ha-shalal. So now the parallel halacha is that if you tear kriya from a shalal, from a slightly mended, rudimentarily mended clothes, mitoch ha-malal, mitoch ha-leket, mitoch ha-solamot, any of these kind of temporary patching together, lo yatsa, that's not a kriya, because kriya has to be from a garment, and it's not a garment anymore. Mitoch ha-ichui, but if it's from a properly mended garment, then yatsa. So Rav Chisda wrote Eichui Alexandria, and again Rav Chisda says the only kind of mending that makes it considered to be a proper garment, such that kriya from it is considered a kriya, is Alexandrian Eichui. Tanu Rabbanan, Rashai lo hafcho lamata v'lachoto. You're allowed to turn it upside down and to mend it. Shimon Elazar oser la'achoto. He says you're not allowed to. Hashem shemocher asur la'achoto. Just like if you're selling that garment, you're not allowed to mend it. Kachalokeach asur la'achoto. The buyer is not allowed to mend it. In other words, the garment has to stay rent, even though the owner of the garment is now not the person who tore it. L'fichach mocher tzarich lo'odia lo'lakeach. And therefore, the seller has to notify the buyer. This, of course, is something that, in general, in our day, is not practical. People generally don't sell their own clothes for purposes like that. But in the ancient world, where a garment was worth far more and would perhaps be have particular value to it, it was practical. Tan Rabbanan, Tchilat Kriya Tefach. The first Kriya that you tear is a Tefach, and this is something that we saw in an earlier discussion. The Tosefet Shalosh Etzbaot. If you're going to add another Kriya, and we'll see what the circumstances are, you have to tear three Etzbaot, three finger lengths, which is a little bit less than a Tefach. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, Tchilat Kriya Shalosh Etzbaot, he takes it down a notch. He says that the first Kriya is not a Tefach, but three fingers. But Tosefet Kolshu, and to add, you just tear a little bit more, any amount. So Amar Ula, Alochak Rav Meir, B'Kriya, Alochak Rav Yehuda, B'Tosefet. So we accept Rav Meir's opinion about the Kriya itself, it has to be a Tefach, but as far as the Tosefet, we accept Rav Yehuda, that could be any amount. And now we have Braita that supports that. Tanamihachi, Rav Yossi Omer, Tchilat Kriya Tefach, B'Tosefet Kolshu, the first Kriya has to be a Tefach. Anything you're going to add to that, and what the circumstance is if you tore Kriya and then heard more bad news or had another, somebody else who died, and you want to add to that same tear, that second Kriya has any amount. Tana Rabbanan, Amrulo Meita Viv. So the Braita. Let's say a person hears that his father dies, Vikara, and he tore Kriya. Meit Benova Hosif. And then he heard that his son died, and he added to that tear. And now that's the Tosefet. Tachton mitache, elyone no mitache. So the lower one, the second tear, the addition, can be sewn up, but not the upper one, because that was for father. Meit benov hosif, if you have the opposite one. First he heard that his son died. Amrulo meit benov v'kara, meit aviv hosif. If the first news he got was about his son, he tore kriya, and then his father. Elyon mitache, v'tachton elyon mitache. The upper one is sewn. In other words, the one of the son can be sewn, the one for the father cannot be sewn. Meit aviv, meit imo, meit avichiv, meit achoto. If he hears about all of them at one shot, korea kerachal lekulan. So Tanakama says that one kriya for the whole, because it's one piece of bad news. Rebbe Mitzera Omer al kulan kerachad. He disagrees. He says there is one kriya for everybody except parents. Al aviv imo kerachad, for both parents together, one separate kara. Why? Lefisha ein mosifin al kara aviv imo. We don't add on to the rip for your parents. So therefore, you can't do parents and anybody else in the same rip. So my time, why then? I'm Nachma Yitzchak L'fichayin on B'Tosefet. The interesting notion, because you can't add parents. You could always possibly have more siblings. You could certainly have more children. You could get married again, but you can never have more than those parents. So therefore, because they cannot be added on to, we cannot add on to the tear for them. Amar Shmuel Halacha Kor B'Yudah B'Meteiru. Now this is interesting because Shmuel, as we've seen throughout our parak, has always held the position that we take the lenient view on Avelut. And nonetheless, here he passes Rabbi Yehuda Mebetera, that if you hear about a family tragedy affecting parents and siblings at the same time, you have to tear two separate kriyot, one for everybody else and one for parents. The answer is Avelut l'chud, kriya l'chud. Avelut is not the same as kriya. You're right, Shmuel always ruled that we take the lenient opinion in Avelut, but not necessarily in kriya. Now, Ad Hechan Korea. How far is the Kriya? It's interesting because up until now we just said a Tefach or Shalosh Etzba'ot. So here, this is for parents. Say Ad Tiburo. Of tear until your stomach, basically. Shomrim Ad Libo, or till your heart. Alpha Bishain. Raya Ladover Zeich Ladover. Even though we don't have any proof that it goes until the heart, there is an allusion to it in the famous Pasuk in Yoel, which is Pasuk number 3 on the page. There he's telling people that they should fast properly and not to just do the formal fasting, but to tear their hearts, as it were. Do tshuva. He says, tear your hearts. Good. So let's say he got all the way to, and it seems to be ruling like that it's the tibor. If you get all the way, the belly button, if you get all the way there, then marchik shalosh etzbaot v'korea. Then you have to move three etzbaot away from that and do a second kriya if such a case happens. So let's say a person had just tons of bad news and there was a kriya all over and the entire front of his garment was torn up. Machzirol acharav, he can turn it around and then use what was previously the back. Again, as I mentioned, their clothes were different, and they were able to turn them around. In Malemi Lamala Ufchomi Lamata, you can also turn it upside down. Koremi Lamata Minatzadin Layatza, but if you tear Kriya from the side or from the bottom, that's not Kriya. It has to be torn from the top, but you could turn it upside down so you have a new top, right, and a new front. Ella, the one exception is Shekohen Gadol Poremi Lamata, that a Kohen Gadol does do his Kriya from below. Pligubar Matnamar Ukva, Talamishme Davur Shmuel Velevi. You have the following machlok of later Amoraim in the name of first generation Amoraim. Chadamar Kol Shiva Korea Lacha Shiva Mosif. So during Shiva, you tear Kriya. If you only get, after Shiva, you add on. Chadamar Kol Shloshim Korea Lacha Shloshim Mosif. And the other said that you can add on to the Kara. Only after Shloshim. In other words, during Shloshim, you can't add on to the Kara. You have to do a separate Kriya for separate news. After Shloshim, you could add on. The other one said after Shiva, you could add on. Matkiftha Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera challenged this. Madhavakos Shiva Korea Amai.
Why does he say that you have to wait till after Shiva? Because you're not allowed to mend it in any sort of way.
And so therefore you, because of that, you have to tear a separate Kriya during Shiva, if you have some other news. Remember we said that a woman can rudimentarily mend her garments immediately after Kriya, because of Tzniut, so Hachinami, so therefore she could do a Tosefet right away, right on there. They're the reason it's Kvod Isha, but really, Mi'ikar HaDin, she's not allowed to mend to sew it up at all, and therefore, you're not allowed to be Tumosif. Madam Arko Shloshim Korea, and Rav Zera attacks the one who says that you have to wait till after Shloshim to add on to that Kriya. Amai Delonitan Lachoto. Why is that? Because you're not allowed to fully mend. So you're going to say for parents, if you tear a Kriya for parents, but you're never allowed to be Ma'ache. That means you could never be Mosif onto it. That's from the other bad news. Achinami? No, Atamishum Kvor Avivimohu. There it's not Meikar Din HaKriya, but it's covered Ikibur Avi. In other words, the Ikar Din is that any Kriya that you tear for the first 7 days is not allowed to be mended at all, and after Shloshim it can be fully mended. Hello, what? That a woman is allowed to mend in a rudimentary fashion immediately to protect her dignity. And for parents, on the other side of it, we don't fully mend it at all, but that's not because of a din of Kriya, that's a din of Kiburav. And therefore, the halacha is that either after Shiva, according to one opinion, after Shloshim, according to the other opinion, you could take the Kara that's there and add on to it, because theoretically it could be sewn up, and so now that garment can be, that tear can be extended. If you come out with a garment that's already torn, then you're stealing from the Meitim Vetachayim. Why? Because instead of tearing a Kriya and losing money, showing your sense of loss, you're going on the cheap by using a garment that's already torn. Let's say a guy says, I want to borrow your fancy shirt because I'm going for to visit my father, he's sick, I want to appear nice. And you go there. And you come and you find that he's dead. Korea, you have to tear the garment. But you immediately sew it up properly. And then when you come back, you give him back the shirt, and you have to pay him for the loss of value to the shirt as a result of the kara. But let's say that you didn't tell the guy I'm going to visit my sick father. You just said, I want to borrow your shirt for an important trip. You didn't say what it was. You're not allowed to tear it. You're not allowed to do anything because after all, when you said, I'm going to visit my father who's sick, so a person understood it's possible it's going to be a Kriya. If you just said, I'm going to a fancy meeting, I need your shirt, the guy has no reason to think that. You have no right to do that as a shoel to destroy the item. Even if you're going to pay him and even if you're going to fix it partially, that's still shaleach, it's called shlichut yad, Pikadon, that's still affecting something that you were entrusted with. Here is a Shoah. Okay, good. Tanu Rabbanan. Chole shemeit lo meit. You have somebody who's sick, and he encounters avilut. Ein modino to shemeit. You don't tell the guy, the sick man. Shemen dreifta to alav. This means somebody who's very sick. And if you tell him that, you know, the wife died, and this often happens, and there's a terrible accident. And so the one person who's in recovery, but they're still in tremendous shock, it turns out that the other person didn't make it. So you don't tell them because they may lose their mind. They may go into shock. And Makarin Bifanav, you don't tear Kriya in their presence.
You don't have the women do the wailing in front of them. A separate halacha is that a katan, who is an avel, this we saw much earlier on, we tear his garments, but not because he's really chayv in a kriya, but because he to arouse sort of the feelings of pain of everybody around him. And again, we saw this earlier, you tear kriya, this part we didn't see earlier, but we saw an angle of it, you tear kriya for your father-in-law and mother-in-law out of covet for your wife. So in Masechet Avel Rabati, part of Masechet Sofrim, part of the Masechet Tanot, the periods of the Gaonim, but the base text of it was around earlier, that an Avel is not allowed to have a baby, hold a baby in his arms, because it gives him happiness. And then the guy looks silly. Here he is looking scruffy and sitting low, and then he's laughing. He looks like a crazy person. There's another problem, which is schok. So the Mishnah said that we do not bring the food to the ovel while sitting on high beds, when it's sitting up in a normal position. All right? Tana Rabbanan. Ha-holech leveita evel. You go to a beit evel. Im hayali bo gaspo, yavru amitot kufuyot. If you're very friendly with the guy, very comfortable with the guy, you could sit on a low bed. But otherwise, you have to sit high. Rava itro be milta. So Rava was an avel. Alaga be Abba bar Marta. So Abba Marta came to be Menachem. To Abba bar Manyume. Rava zakif. So Rava sat up. Abba Marta kafi. And the visitor sat down. Low. Rakama late be data lights or Rabbanit. So Rava said, this guy doesn't get it. This Talmid Chacham doesn't understand. This Talmid doesn't understand. Because he doesn't understand that I sat up so that he should sit up. He's sitting low. He's becoming more like the Ovel than I am. Tan Rabbanan, Olech makom l'makom, yachol l'ma'et b'yisko yima'et, v'im lav yil galgel l'imahen. So if a person has to go from one place to another, and this is referring to, if a fellow has to go from one place to another, he should try to minimize whatever business he has to do. This is evidently referring to during Shloshim, right? That if he has to go from one place to another, he should minimize the amount of business he does, and if there's no way to do it, Yagelli Mahan. He should have the people he's traveling with work it out so that they're really the ones doing it, and later on he'll take care of it. Tan Rabbanan, Emotai Kofina Tamitot, when does Avelut start? That's a way of saying it. When do we make the beds low? Mishiyetzein Petach Beito. Right? That's the verb of Elozer. Elozer says, the minute the mate leaves the house on the way to the cemetery, that's already Avelut. Shua Mer Mishiyet Setei Magolal. Yeshua says, no, it's when the grave is covered. Maase Shemit Ramagamli Al Azakain. So Ramagamli Al Azakain died. This is in about the year 40 or so. Kevan Shiyatzam Petach Beito Amar Lam Rabbi Eliezer. The minute they left the house, Rabbi Eliezer, the student said, Kfu Mitoteichem. Turn your beds over. Kevan Shiyatzam Magolal Amar Lam Yeshua Kfu Mitoteichem. But once the grave was buried, and Rabbi Yeshua turned around and said, turn your beds over. Amrulo Kfar Kafinu Al Pi Zakain. So they said, we already turned our beds over based on the ruling of the Zakein, that being Rabbi Eliezer. Tan Rabbanan, Meimotai Zokfin Tamitot Be'erv Shabbat. When do we pick the beds up on Erev Shabbat? In other words, for Shabbat, now the beds have to be up. When do we do it? Mina Mincha Ulamala. So from Mincha time on. Am Rabba Barhuna, Afa Bichain, Eno Yoshev Aleha, Ajitech Shach. Am Rabba Barhuna, Afa Bichain, Eno Yoshev Aleha, Ajitech Shach. But you pick the beds up then, but you don't sit on the raised bed up until it's actually Shabbat. Even though you're going to be getting up, let's say, Sunday morning from Shiva, Saturday night, you turn it over again. Tan Rabbanan. Again, this is a practice of Kfiyat HaMita that we do not engage in anymore. Tan Rabbanan. Kofe mitato, lo mitato bilvaru kofe, la kol mitot shiyesh lo betoch beto u kofe. Either you don't turn over only your bed, you turn over all the beds in the house. Even if you have them in 10 different places, evidently this means in 10 different locations, not just in your house, you have them all turned over. That's a sign of Avelut. So even if there's five brothers and one of them died, all of them turn over. But if it was a bed that was used to store things on, because it was not used for sitting or for sleeping, then you don't have to turn it over. Dargash, ain't sarich l'chpoto. Dargash, we're going to see in a minute, is some sort of a bed that was there for mazel. Nobody ever used it. It was a superstitious good luck bed. Ella Zokfo, you keep it up. Ramchim Gamliel Omer Dagash Matira Takarbitav Unofel Meilav. There's sticks underneath that you can just move, or ropes that you can move, and it falls on its own. So my Dargash, what is this Dargash? Ma'ula Arsa Degada. It's the luck bed. They would keep it around in the house. Amar Le Rabba Elamiata Gabi Melech Dinan Kola Amasubim Al Arts Vume Save Al Dargash Mika Miridara Idna Lo Utvine Vashtam Utvinan Lai. So it's very hard to understand when a king is in Avelut, everybody sits around him on the ground, and he sits on a Dargash. So up until now, we haven't set it up, and now we're setting it up for him. Until now, we didn't feed him. Now we're feeding him because of Havra'a. So in the same way, we're setting up this Dargash for him. That we said that a dargash, you don't have to turn over. If it's the good luck bed, why don't you have to turn it over? We learned you have to turn over all the beds. So my kash, why not? It's like a bed that's used for vessels. You don't have to turn it over. So the same thing. This good luck bed is not used for sleeping. It's used for some other mystical thing. Alikasha Akasha, this is the problem. Shemgamli Olomer Dagash Matir Kabitavu Nofel Meilav. The end of the bright that says you could take the ropes out and it falls. Sagadai Dacharsa Dagada Mai Kabitavi Idle. Evidently, this good luck bed did not have these ropes underneath, so that's what was different. Good. Kiato Ravina Male Aumer Abonim. So a particular student said to Ravin when he came from Eretz Yisrael, of Tachlifu Amarava Shmei. Navi Shchiach Peshuka de Gildoi. He was somebody who was in the Shuk. Mai Dargash Arsa de Tzala. All right, he says a dargash is not a good luck bed, but it's rather a bed made of pelt. Eat marnami amar yuirmi a dargash serugom mitocho mita seruga al gabat. The difference between a dargash and a mita is how the grips hold on to the sides, how the ropes hold on to the sides, whether they go over them or they dig into them. All right, so it's not a different function, but it's a different structure. Yaakov bar Acham Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi alochem shem gamliel alochem shem gamliel. That you do have to take it down. You take it down by loosening the ropes. If you have a bed in which the stands for it come out, and therefore if you turn it over, you're going to end up with something that's just as high as you had before, so then you leave it as is because you're not accomplishing anything. You just stand it up, upwards, vertical. If you sleep on the ground or on a big chair or whatever it is, you're not yotze kfiyat amita. Yochanan shaloi came kfiyat amita. Kfiyat amita really means turn the bed over and sleep on it. You're allowed to sweep out of beit ha'evel. You're allowed to wash dishes there. But you don't bring incense and smoky smells into the house to make it smell nice. We have a statement of Bar Kapra that says you can't make the bracha on Saturday night on the besamim brought into the Beit HaEvel. So obviously you do bring besamim there. So the Beit HaEvel himself, where he lives, you don't bring it in at all. Beit HaMenachemim, which is evidently an area adjacent to it where the comforters come to sit with him, there you're allowed to bring it, but that you don't make the bracha. Good. Okay, we have one more piece to take care of today, or this in this shiur, and that is the next Mishnah. In molechin leBeit HaEvel lo b'tavla v'lo b'skut la v'lo b'kanon. You don't carry food. As I carry food to the Beit HaEvel, you don't carry it in a fancy tray. Ela b'salim, rather in simple baskets, and we'll see why. Let's say that somebody died in Chol HaMoed, was buried, or Yontif buried in Chol HaMoed. You don't say the Berkat Avilim, which we've encountered several times, but they do stand in the Shura Umenachamim, they comfort the fellow, and then they tell everybody to go home. During Moed, you don't put the bier out in the street so that people will eulogize. And women never, not Chol HaMoed, not any time, because the lack of dignity to the women. We'll see what the concern there is. Tan Rabbanan, Brishana Yum Olichim Beit HaEvel. They used to bring food as follows. Ashirim Bekalatot Shal Kesef HaZahav. The rich people used to bring in fancy gold and silver baskets. Anim selling serim shalar vaklufa, and the poor people in wicker baskets. Are you on Anim it pashim? And what happened? And the poor people were embarrassed, and they stopped bringing. Kinush you akom aviim b'salin tzarim shalar vaklufa. So the takana everybody brings in the simplest wicker baskets. Nechvad anshal anim. Tanu rabbanu v'shana hayu mashkin v'eta evel asherim b'schuchit levana im schuchit tzvua. They used to use different kinds of glasses in the Beit HaEvel, and the rich people would come and bring fancy white glass, and others would bring in cheaper colored glass. So they made the takana that everybody should use the colored glass nechvodan shel aniim to make sure that the aniim, that their dignity was not lost and that they were not embarrassed. It used to be that the Ashirim, the wealthy people who had healthy faces, would come in and uncover their wrath, and the Anim would keep their faces covered because they looked so emaciated. Poor people were embarrassed. I guess the concern is that they also wouldn't come. Everybody walks in with their face covered. It used to be that they'd carry the rich people out to be buried in a fancy bed, and the poor people in some sort of a stretcher. So everybody was taken out in this simple stretcher. They used to put senses and incense underneath people who died and had intestinal problems, because of the smells that were there. And all the people who were alive who had those intestinal problems were embarrassed. So they're kind of like, you know, that's where I'm going to end up. So they made a takana that everybody gets this incense under their body, to keep the dignity of people who had such a problem and were still alive. What they used to do is they would take the clothes of the Nida who had died, who if she had died as a Nida, and they would be told of them, and all the women who were Nida would be embarrassed, kind of as if, like, you know, that might be happening to me. Therefore, all women's clothes, doesn't matter who they are and what age, are taken and make them. Same thing. They used to take anybody who died as a Zav, they would take their Kelim and be told of them. I use Zavim Chaim in Pashin, and for the Zavim who were alive were embarrassed. The same thing for the Zavim. It used to be that burial was more of a problem, more of an anxiety than the death itself, because the Krovim used to leave the dead body and run away because they couldn't afford a fancy funeral. Why? Because rich people were doing very fancy funerals. Rabban Gamliel himself, the wealthy and the head of Sanhedrin, Rabban Gamliel, had himself buried in a simple white linen. And so everybody had the custom, and therefore he saved everyone. And now everybody has even a cheaper thing. Everybody has no egg. The simplest, cheapest thing, that's what's worn by the mate, and therefore everybody can afford it. We learned in the Brita, you know, in the Mishnah, you don't leave the bed on Moed out in the street. Papa ain't Moed b'fnei Talmid Chacham. Or Papa said that Moed doesn't get in the way of the Talmid Chacham. Although the Talmid Chacham who died, they do put his bed out there, so everybody will mourn. V'choshken Chanukah Purim. And certainly, Chanukah Purim, we do full hespe. Eini v'harav kana safta v'rav zvid min ardea b'fum nahara. And Papa yom shmuahave. If Rav Kahana gave a hesped for Rav Zvid in Pum Nahara, in other words, not in the presence of the mate. So we see that it's not just Bifnei Talmid Chacham. You give a hesped for mate on Chol HaMoed, even if he's not there. So why do you say Bifnei Talmid Chacham? Papi Yom Shmuahave, that was the day he heard he had died. Uchfanav Dami, and that day was so upsetting, it's as if the mate was there. Amar Ula hesped al lev. The hesped has to be on the heart. Tichtiv al shadayim softim. It was beating on the heart. And that's the pasuk on the page. Tipuach biyad. What's tipuach? When we talk about tipuach, that's clapping with the hands. Kilus baregel. That's stamping the feet. So whenever you talk about these different forms of expressions of mourning, that's what it means. Tanabana mekalei soi kaleis besandal elabe minal neasakana. So we have a bright that supports it. It says if somebody's mekaleis, they should do it with a particular kind of shoe and not a sandal because it's dangerous because of the nails. Yochanan Avel Kevanshin the Anabiro Sho Shuva in Menachamin Rishain Leshevitzlo. An Avel gives a proper kind of a nod and lets people know that he's not interested right now in Menachamim, they should leave him alone. Yochanan Kochaivin Lamon Le Nasi, Chutzmi Avel Vachole. If a Nasi walks into the room, everybody has to stand up except somebody who's sick and somebody who's an Avel. Yochanan Lakol Omrim Laim Shvu Chutzmi Avel Vachole. And therefore, when the Nasi, no, the other people cannot sit down until he says sit, except for the Avel and the Chole. Right? That's something we've seen alluded to, but now we see it formally. And on the first day, an Avel is not allowed to eat his own food. How do we know? Again, going back to Yechezkel, and the things Hashem told Yechezkel to do are things an Avel is not normally allowed to do, and vice versa. He said, don't eat other people's food. Means, right, that other Avelim are supposed to eat other people's food. Rabbi Rav Yosef Mechalfi Suratayu Lahadari. They exchanged meals when they had some common avilut. If somebody is dead, died in the city, then the rest of the city, till the burial happens, they're not allowed to do malacha. Nun equal Darumta. He came to Darumta. Shama kol shipur de shachla. He heard the sounds of shofarot, sounding because of a dead person. Chaza hanach inchidiko avdavita. And he saw people doing malacha. Takes us back to Nidui. And you throw these people in chera, they're violating the rabbi's rules, the honor of the town. There's a dead person going to be buried, and these guys are doing malacha? We have a chevra kadisha, we have a group that takes care of the burials. He said, if that's the case, then it is indeed mutter to you. So, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we will finish a little bit later today the final podcast on Masachet Moed Katan, and properly be Messiah in a virtual Siyum, and then be able to wish everybody a Chag Sameach.